Hello, everyone. I'm Sue Liberman, honored to be president of Senior Statesmen of Virginia. And I want to welcome you all to the first of two Senior Statesmen candidate forums that will introduce candidates running in this November's election for open seats on the Charlottesville City Council and the Albemarle Board of Supervisors. We are pleased today to be able to present the 12 declared candidates running for the three open seats on the Charlottesville City Council. Before I go on, I'd like to introduce Peter Thompson to you. Peter is executive and CEO of the Senior Center.
Thank you, Sue, and thank everybody for coming. And on behalf of everybody at the Senior Center, I also want to welcome you. I've had the great pleasure of serving as the executive director here for the past 12 years, and we're very proud of our community collaborations to help meet our mission and to serve the community. And one of the ways we do that is to open up our doors here at the Senior Center to the entire community in order to inform you and get you the information to help you make the best decisions you possibly can. Civic engagement is a big part of what the Senior Center's mission is about, whether that be through volunteering or policy alerts or voting. We're a voting district here too, the Branchlands precinct of Albemarle County. So it's an important part of what we do, both in our own programs and in partnership with folks like Senior Statesmen. And we're very pleased that they have all their monthly meetings here throughout the year. And I just want to put my thanks in to all 12 candidates for running. I was talking to a few of them beforehand. I always like to think of myself as very civically engaged, and everybody here in this room is. You vote, you come out and educate yourself, you meet the candidates, you're probably writing letters to the editor, you're writing emails to the candidates and to your elected officials. But the next level to actually put your name and your neck out running for elected office is something that most of us aren't willing and able to do. So I really applaud the folks who are up here today to take that next level of civic engagement on behalf of our community. So thank you all for coming, and on with the show.
Thank you, Peter. And we thank the Senior Center for hosting us. The forum today occurs before the Democratic Party primary. So while not all the participants will be on the November ballot, we have the opportunity today to hear and explore the views of the 12 declared candidates who have graciously agreed to be here. Senior Statesman tries very hard to adhere to our 1.5 hour program schedule. And given the numbers of candidates in front of you, we've had to limit each candidate to 3 minutes to introduce themselves in a consolidated statement of who they are and a capsule of their views. We invite you all to submit questions that you may have regarding their positions on issues of the city and the city council. Board members are on the floor now distributing cards if any of you have a question that you have not yet submitted. You may address your questions, to a particular candidate or to all the candidates, the groups at large. The candidates will then have 1 minute to respond to your question. I will use a mix of questions, those to specific candidates and those to all candidates. Our timekeepers are seated right in front of the candidates and will keep them on track. And we ask that the candidates keep an eye on that little black box with the green in front right now. That's our time machine, and that will cue you as to where you are in your 3 minute time limit. On green, when green goes to yellow, that means you have 30 seconds left. When it gets to red, that's the universal sign for please stop. And then it will be my job to use the hook. So so let's get started. One other thing before I forget. Please, as you're speaking, speak directly into the mic. We do podcast and record these this session. So you can go on our website, on the Senior Statesman website, and see the entire program should you miss any of it or want others to see it. So let's get started. In all fairness, we're doing this in alphabetical order. So the first to present will be Scott Bandy.
Thank you. I'm Scott Bandy. I've lived in this area since 1989, and I'm running as an independent for City Council of Charlottesville. I'm not the best known. I'm not the most affluent. I'm not the widest respected. And I'm not the finest at being well-spoken. But I am a citizen of Charlottesville. And it is from that viewpoint I run my candidacy. That's why I'm running for this office. Not just to try to make a difference, but to simply be there. Not that the people that have served council haven't, but to bring a different perspective. I'm not going to waste much time because I'd like to hear what some of the other candidates have to say as well. And I thank you for your time here today.
Thank you, Scott. Paul?
Hello, everyone. My name is Paul Beyer. I'm running today. I'm on the Democratic ticket. The primary is August 20th. I'm running because I'm a hometown guy. I grew up here. We've had a business here for 40 years. It's a family business, so obviously I'm not, I haven't been there the whole time, but been there a good long while. And I'm running because I think city council needs both a business and it needs an arts perspective. I come from the small business background of helping run my family business. We employ 20 employees. We have dozens of subcontractors. I feel like the businesses and the hometown local people in Charlottesville that are running their businesses, I think that's the backbone of the community. And there needs to be a council that has that kind of voice on it. I also, obviously, am a young person as well. I went to NYU. I have an arts background. And I think the city, a lot of what I'm running on is a sense we can't take things for granted. We can't take our small businesses for granted, and we can't take our arts and our culture for granted either. We need proactive voices for both those things on city council. Now, my platform is jobs, sustainability, and arts. And I'd say if you were to tie them all together, it's about opportunity. It's about making sure that we have more opportunity in Charlottesville, that we have diverse middle class, we have diverse jobs, and that there's a council that focuses on those. Now, the arts are one of those things that, you know, it's interesting. I talked to a lot of people, and the arts are the type of thing that people can kind of have a warm and fuzzy feeling about. And I obviously have that, too, because I come from that background. But we missed a tremendous opportunity if we do not look at the arts as a driver of our local economy. And we do not focus on the arts as something that is a middle-class job source, and it's the cultural life of the city as well. That, you know, if you look at tourism, you look at all the things that make Charlottesville a great place to live, a lot of them come back to our culture. And I'm trying to make sure that our arts have vibrant opportunity here, that we have a diverse group of artists meeting a diverse population in Charlottesville. I think it's tremendously important. So those are some of the things I'm running on, and I look forward to the give and take here. And I guess, how much time do I have?
About 15 seconds.
Yeah. All right. Well, I would encourage everyone to look at the Seaville Weekly this week. There's an article about talks about the city. It's a civic engagement forum that I've had, and I think it really explains a lot of what I'm about and what I, the kind of voices I hope to bring to council. So thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Colette?
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Colette Blount. I have been in Charlottesville since 1994. I am a public school teacher. I've been teaching since 1994. I received my bachelor's from Wellesley College in 1986 and my master's from the College of William and Mary in 1994. I bring to City Council my experience as a teacher. I have taught in both Albemarle County and Charlottesville City Public Schools. I bring my ability to connect with the community on a variety of issues, and I bring my dedication. I had the opportunity at one point to perhaps pursue medicine and other fields, but once I walked into a classroom in Boston and saw the need for education in our community, then I pursued that. My three areas of interest are one, education. not only for the children of Charlottesville City, also for the adults of our community, adults who will need a second opportunity at improving their job training. I forgot to mention also I'm currently on the city school board as well. As far as our children, we need to have opportunities for apprenticeship and internship, paid internships, to give our young people a view of the future that is ahead of them, interests in those areas. A second issue of mine is with environmental stewardship. And that is how we plan and design our community in order to maintain a balance with our natural environment so that it is there for our young people as well. And so I know that there have been many opportunities of around discussion for growth in our city. And I think we in Charlottesville need to keep an eye on that and be very proactive with how we design and lay out our city in future endeavors, creating policy around areas of conservation. A third area is community engagement. We need to have more people around the table in deciding some of these issues, these citywide issues, so that when we do make our decisions, we can say that we had on council full community input. I applaud City Council in some of their endeavors in reaching out into the community to engage a broader cross sample, and we need to continue along those veins. I've been doing door knocking, precinct by precinct, and my experience with that has shown me that there are three key concerns that are on the minds of our Charlottesville city citizens, and those being the job market, affordable housing, and schools. And so on council, I will continue to support those endeavors and bring some creative initiatives to our community, and I appreciate your support on August 20th. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Brevi?
Hi, my name is Brevi Cannon, and I'm running for city council because I believe that middle-class jobs are Charlottesville's biggest challenge. We need more middle-class jobs in Charlottesville, and that's my top priority. Just to give you a little bit of background first, though, I moved here in 1997 to attend UVA, and Charlottesville's been home ever since. I am involved in the community in a number of ways, including as a volunteer firefighter for the last 7 years. I lead a group called Left of Center, that's a group of young progressives in town. I'm on the board of the Charlottesville Community Scholarship Program, which is all about helping folks who might not get a scholarship from somewhere else. I also just served on the Future Fund, which is a giving circle for young folks, and we just awarded recently $50,000 to the Buford Schoolyard Garden Project. So that's a little bit about me. Now back to what I'd like to focus on. I think to sum things up in Charlottesville, we do a lot here in Charlottesville to help people who are in poverty, but we don't do enough to help people out of poverty. And that means more opportunity, more jobs, better jobs. That means 21st century middle-class jobs in clean industries like green energy, biotechnology, advanced manufacturing, skilled trades. And we need to be doing what we can to make sure that businesses are coming to Charlottesville, staying in Charlottesville, expanding in Charlottesville. And they face unique challenges in Charlottesville. They're not going to be here today. Today, businesses can go anywhere they want in the world, and there's a lot of shiny new office parks out there. In Charlottesville, they're going to have to deal with renovating an old building or building something in a tight urban space with a lot of rigorous design review, which I think is good for our city. But they definitely face some hurdles. They're going to have to invest in Charlottesville to be here, and we need to reward that if they do with tax breaks, at a minimum property tax breaks for what they're investing in the city. Along with having more opportunity, better middle-class jobs in Charlottesville, of course we need to couple that with helping our citizens get ready to have those jobs, and that means job training, apprenticeship programs, mentoring programs. We want to make sure everyone in Charlottesville has a clear path to the middle class. And the last part of that is dealing with the achievement gap in our schools. We've had We've made progress in our schools. Charlottesville schools are pretty good. They, if you come to school, you know, pretty ready to learn, you can get a great education in Charlottesville schools. But we've had a persistent achievement gap, and I'd like to see us look at some out-of-the-box options to do some things that have worked, that have been proven to work in other communities with high-poverty neighborhoods, things like charter schools, going to school more hours in the day.
To wrap it up.
Thank you.
That was quick. Okay, Brandon.
Thank you for inviting me to be here. My name is Brandon Collins. I've lived in Charlottesville my entire life, which is 38 years. I have a daughter who attends public schools who has also lived here her entire life. I work as a musician and music teacher, have been a longtime restaurant worker, and recently a personal care attendant. I participate in all kinds of activism, both locally and nationally. What ultimately I think qualifies me to be on city council is my politics. So I appeal to you, many of you have experienced great things in your lives. You've also witnessed great suffering. And I think that great things are needed in order to keep that great suffering from being the legacy that we leave to the future. And that's why I'm running for city council. I'm a candidate specifically for the working class, for unemployed people, for poor people, for people with disabilities. We hear a lot of talk and a lot of worrying about the current economic crisis, but I need to point out that there are many in our city, too many in our city, who have spent their entire lives in an economic crisis. Add to that the ongoing environmental crisis and the crisis of war and militarism, and we have a mess. And we have a duty to rely on more than small reforms or the free market or the federal government to create a more equitable, safe, and sustainable world. We can think big in Charlottesville, and we can act big without making excuses, and we can do it starting right now in a spirit of cooperation rather than competition. In the coming years, we're going to be seeing huge cuts from the federal and state government and to programs that affect our most vulnerable residents. And I am a candidate who will stand up to make up the difference here locally if we need to. That stuff's going to affect our public school funding and all kinds of social programs. But we can't just maintain the status quo. So I'm focusing on three big issues, jobs, housing, and transit. These issues are greatly tied as well to building a sustainable city and a sustainable planet. With jobs, we can move towards creating guaranteed employment, making sure that every resident who needs a job can get one that pays a living wage. I hope to get a job center opened in downtown Charlottesville where people can access living wage work through the private sector, and if not, the city would put people to work directly through public works and parks and recreation while building a more sustainable city. Housing requires much more attention and funding than it has received. From housing the homeless to affordable rent to giving low-income residents more chances to own their own homes. And as we do this, we ensure that all housing is both sustainable and affordable. Transit is greatly tied to the needs of the working class and people with disabilities, as well as to the needs of our planet. And I would like to see a great expansion of public transit. So details on all of this can be found on my website and in my pamphlet. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bob?
Good afternoon. I'm Bob Fenwick. I'm running as an independent. I've been a resident of the county and the city for 35 years. I remember the drive-in theater where the Kroger sits on Hydraulic Road, the World War II or the Korean War airplane that used to be in McIntyre Park. I remember the blue laws where you couldn't buy liquor on Sunday, and I remember banks that only opened from 12 to 2. And if that doesn't date me, I can't help you. I've been married to Victoria for 44 years. I have two boys, Austin and Ross. They're both in the United States Army. Both were homeschooled and educated in the Charlottesville Public Schools. They're both now stationed at Fort Knox, Kentucky. I have a Bachelor in Science from Physics from Georgetown University. And I have 7 years' experience in the Corps of Engineers and graduate and undergraduate work in civil engineering from the George Washington University, George Washington School of Engineering University in Washington, D.C. I have experience in dredging and damming and designing bridges and building bridges. I served in Vietnam from 1969 to 1970 as a combat engineer. For 37 years, I've been a business owner, Fenwick Construction, a Class A construction contractor in Virginia. Now, there's a few things you're going to hear this afternoon, probably. One is that the city and the county have a feisty relationship. Now, I assume there's a combination of city people and county people in front of me, and I couldn't tell the difference between one and the other. I can speak to any one of you, and even if I disagree with you, if I'm for the dredging first option, if one of you wanted the dam first option, we would discuss it civilly. I have discussed that civilly with everybody on this panel, and I think the only people that are upset in the city and county are a few politicians who don't understand that it's a citizen's right to stand up for what they think should be going on in their community. When a mistake is made, when they have made a decision that is a mistake, it is our duty, if not our responsibility, to question that. And that's what the Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan have done. And we tried to do it responsibly and civilly. The second item that you might hear is that in the dredging damming discussion, there is a dredge-only option. That's incorrect. It is a dredge-first option, and that is my position, dredge first, dam later. I don't think anybody in this room, if they bought a car or a house, in the case of a car, you wouldn't run it until it burned out, and then you'd walk away from it. You'd fix it.
Bob, time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Kathleen?
Thank you. Thank you, Sue. And thank you, Mr. McGrath, and the senior statesmen and women of Virginia for holding this event. I'm Kathy Galvin, and I'm running for city council. I come from a blue-collar city, Brockton, Massachusetts. If any of you have seen the movie The Fighter, you'll get a good picture of the kind of place I grew up in. My father was an auto mechanic and had an eighth grade education. He also had to fight his way through the Italian neighborhood on his way to St. Patrick's Parochial School. That's how he became Rocky Marciano's sparring partner. Because he contracted illnesses during the Second World War as a paratrooper, he became disabled when I was about 8 years old. My mother, who was an Army nurse at that same war, then became the breadwinner on a school nurse's salary. Thank God she was able to get her BA on the GI Bill. Even though she had to become the breadwinner on a school nurse's salary, she was the one who also dedicated her life to providing education for those at need, greater need than ours. She was the one who wrote the Head Start grant in Brockton. And every summer, my brother and I were teaching assistants in the Head Start program. I saw factories close, neighborhoods wither, and sprawl eat away at my hometown, all by the time I was in high school. It's no wonder that I studied economics and geography as an undergraduate at Boston University, and then pursued a master's in architecture here at UVA beginning in 1983. I have been studying, designing, and building places where children and families could flourish ever since. By 1989, I was a registered architect. Since then, I've run my own practice. I've raised two sons with my husband, Michael Costanzo. We went and sent our boys to Johnson Elementary School because of its excellent reading and math program, even though at the time we lived in the north part of town. I was Johnson's PTO president for 3 years, and then I served additional years on the PTO council. During the 90s, I was appointed to several public committees in the city and county, one of which I was the chair of the Alma County Steering Committee that produced the neighborhood model, the growth management strategy for the growth areas in the county. I understand how to build consensus when there's 22 people from different walks of life, all trying to forge an idea of what it means to have a quality environment. In 2007, I was honored to be elected to the Charlottesville City School Board, and I've served a four-year term. And now I am seeking your vote as a city councilwoman. All of these experiences have taught me empathy, humility, teamwork, and perseverance, and given me a chance to forge consensus for the greater good. My vision is for a greener, smarter, stronger Charlottesville by design, a city that expands economic opportunity, especially for the most vulnerable, while minimizing our region's regional footprint. People should be able to live, work, and play in a place that respects community character without compromising community prosperity. People need to see accountable government that works hard and follows through. I have the skills, knowledge, and perspective that the council needs to be visionary, collaborative, and results-oriented. That's why I'm running. Thank you, and please vote for me on August 20th.
Thank you. James?
Good afternoon. Can you hear me? Good afternoon. My name is James Halfaday, just like it sounds, like a half a day of work or half a day of school. I'm actually really excited to be here. We actually have power here, so I'm excited to be here. So, as I said, my name is James Halfaday. I'm 32 years of age. I grew up in Illinois in a little small community. I was elected to my hometown council in Illinois at the age of 18. I was the youngest official in Illinois history. The reason why I'm running for Charlottesville City Council that differs me from any of these candidates up here is that I do not read from a script. I tell you what comes from my heart and I tell you what comes from my mind. So these individuals that read from their papers, you know, they're not speaking from their heart, you know. So there's three things that I'm focusing on here in this community. One is education. We need to close this achievement gap here in this community like you would not believe. For too often, our school students are dropping out of this community here, out of our high school, and that's unacceptable here. So we need to have accountability for our teachers along with our students here in this community as well. Accountability is another reason why I'm running for Charlottesville City Council. Whether you send an email to the city of Charlottesville and they do not respond back, or if you give them a telephone call to the city of Charlottesville and they don't telephone you back, or if you send them a letter and they do not respond back to you, you are a taxpayer. You are to be represented by the individuals in the city. If they do not respond to you, they should be held accountable. And if they don't want to respond to you, they don't need to be in their position as far as I'm concerned. Also, I'm also running for Charlottesville City Council because I'm physically conservative. I believe that we need to conserve our spending here in the city of Charlottesville. The current council, the biggest farce I think I've ever seen is that Belmont Bridge. That's that fence that's on the Belmont Bridge. That's $14,530 that the city of Charlottesville had spent for a temporary blockade on that fence. If you look across from that fence, you will see that the city of Charlottesville had temporarily fixed that sidewalk. Now, $14,530 is a lot of money. In the city of Charlottesville, we have 146 of sexual registered offenders here in this community. $14,530 is your guys' tax dollars, my tax dollars. It takes about $30,000 to employ a police officer here in this community. But here we are spending money on a temporary blockade on a fence, on a bridge. We need to get our priorities straight here in our community, and I'm going to be the backbone for our community here. I will also say within my 30 seconds here real quick is that if you ask me a question, I give you a direct answer. A lot of people don't like me because of that, but, you know, I speak true, and, you know, if I say something to you, we'll talk about it. I'm always opening to listen to responses, and I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Pooja?
Good morning. I realize it is afternoon, but I'm an optimist. Charlottesville is a great community. I have spent much of my life helping in this effort. I have a track record. You can judge it for yourself. I do have experience and expertise to find creative solutions for our future needs in our community. I've been privileged to be part of many projects. I'm not going to go through all of those because you'll be here all afternoon. So I'll just mention a few of those. And again, I also want to mention that these were not done by me alone. I was part of them. My very first project I was involved in with Mr. Fife sitting in the back is Downtown Mall. And I think it has finally turned out to be a great project. It's become a heart of our community. I've been involved in renovation of a historic court square, Ravana Green Belt System, Tree Commission, Art in Place, affordable housing like SRO, neighborhood improvements, and social programs like Meals on Wheels, Mediation Center, and a very favorite of mine, internship program for youth. Last week, there were 171 bright young people who graduated from that summer program. You could see the life in them and the future in them. I've been involved in many different kinds of physical, social, and economic projects. But I, like Mr. Jefferson, as you know, in this town, you cannot speak without Mr. Jefferson. So I better take his quote first. I like the dream of the future better than the history of the past. So let me share with you my dream and future of the Charlottesville. I think Charlottesville has a bright future. I'll work to improve the environment in our community. I'd like to promote a balanced transportation system with an interconnected network of bikes and sidewalks so you can safely walk and ride bike. I'd like to improve the transit system, be more frequent and more dependable so you can ride the bus. You don't have to wait for an hour for a bus. I'm also very much interested in improving infrastructure. Our infrastructure is in bad shape, and we need to improve that, especially the water, sewer, and drainage lines. I'll promote quality education, especially for the younger children, early start of children. I'm going to also be working in the area of housing and neighborhood improvements. There are many possibilities. I'll listen and be proactive in working with all the citizens of this community. So it will be a better community for all of us, not just for a few of us. And I hope your support will be there for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Paul? Okay.
My name is Paul Long, and I've been living in Charlottesville since 1998. I'm a native of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I want to thank the Senior Statesmen of Virginia for inviting me to participate in this forum, and for Bob McGrath for being very gracious and getting my photograph and a paragraph into the newsletter at the last minute. My father was born and raised in the Bronx, New York, and my mother from Lafayette, Louisiana. And the reason I mention that is because I know some people were very insensitive to make remarks about Mr. Hoosier's accent at city council meetings. When I first came to Charlottesville, one of my great joys was explaining to people who got to know me, I interact at a job where I'm in constant contact with people, the nuances of the difference between a Philadelphia and a New York City accent. But I want to say that as a small child, I remember my parents and grandparents talking about the horrors of living through the Great Depression and the leadership of Franklin Roosevelt in leading America to better times. During the 1960s, I witnessed the turmoil as America was forced to confront the denial of first-class citizenship to Americans of African descent. And I witnessed the leadership of Lyndon Johnson in passing major civil rights legislation, and also his leadership in the war on poverty and his efforts to try to grant all Americans the right to live fully in an economic level of betterment in this country. And unlike many today, I do not believe that government is the enemy. I believe that government can be a creative force in working with citizens and business and helping to solve many of our problems. One of the reasons that I'm running for city council and asking people for their support is if you read the Daily Progress today with the city's response to the lawsuit that was filed in reference to the suit that five homeless people filed against the city, I think that every single resident of Charlottesville should be disgraced at the way we're treating our homeless people in this city. Not this current budget, but the previous budget had a surplus of $3.5 million. And I've called on City Council on a few occasions to appropriate $2 million of that towards grants to opening up shelters in the city. I used that $2 million figure knowing the city would not do that, but merely as a negotiating tactic, and City Council has never given me a response to my call for that. I think it's a disgrace that in the United States, people are forced to sleep on park benches, underneath bridges, and the Rivanna Bank Creek because they have no home place to lay their heads down. Charlottesville can do better. In 1972, when I first registered to vote, it was my great privilege to register as a Democrat. The first candidate, presidential candidate, I voted for was George McGovern, and I never regretted that vote since then. And he's been an inspiration to me that sometimes running for office, even if you don't think that you're going to win, you have to bring the issues up for the public to consider. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. Dee Dee?
Thank you. Greetings, friends. My name is Dee Dee Smith, and I'm running for the Democratic nomination to City Council because I love Charlottesville, and I want to see our city maintain its high quality of life for generations to come. I have lived here for more than 30 years and have a long record of service in this community. It is my history of community involvement that shapes my vision for Charlottesville, and I sum that up with I care. C is for conservation because I believe in the protection of our natural and historic places. Just in the last decade, we have seen 5 major infrastructure projects proposed, some approved, in our city parks. And in my own neighborhood, the pressure of high-density development is fundamentally changing the soundscape of our land, but as our urban forests are being cleared, and the increased stormwater is wreaking havoc on our creeks. I spent 14 years as the director out at the Ivy Creek Natural Area, which is not only a nature park, it's also an African American heritage site. And those years just really taught me how important our natural and our human heritage is to our quality of life. And that is so true in Charlottesville. A is for accountability. I believe in a responsive and a responsible government. 4 years ago, I co-founded the Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan, largely because I witnessed decisions being made that forfeited hundreds of millions of dollars in city resources for a plan that was based on out-of-date and inaccurate information. I have a strong background in research, and I believe in using accurate and up-to-date information and seeking out the best information possible. I believe we can solve this water issue and move on as if we work together and find a more balanced and modern approach. R is for respect. I believe in a city where all citizens have equal opportunity. As we all know, not all of our residents of Charlottesville share our high quality of life, and we must respect the fact that we have a diversity of income, ethnicity, and race in our city. I spent 10 years as a parent advocate and PTO leader at Jackson Via Elementary, a high-poverty city school, and I saw many of the barriers families face when they're living in poverty, in housing, cost of living, and other societal struggles, all of which impact my next priority, and that's education. I believe that Charlottesville can be a city where all children thrive. I served 6 years on the Charlottesville School Board, and it was very clear that assuring an excellent education is not only what happens in the classroom, but what happens in the city. I believe that my decades-long record of service to this community prepares me well for City Council, and I hope you agree and will come out and vote on August 20th. Thank you.
Thank you. Andrew.
Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate everyone here taking time out of their busy schedules. My name is Andrew D. Williams. I'm 25, as of August the 7th, making me the youngest candidate. I am a full-time student studying human resource development with higher academic aspirations, and I work full-time as an insurance claims adjuster for State Farm. I do try to be a good neighbor as best as I can, internally and externally. I learn from my experiences, but I don't rely solely on what I've experienced. Granted, I only have 25 years under my belt, so I was taught to listen more than I speak. I believe that the purest form of representation at the local level is independence. Look at Congress and look at their approval rating. Like, why should people bicker back and forth with important issues like, oh, let's say I don't know, the economic infrastructure of our nation waiting to the last minute. The city needs to move forward and represent their primary shareholders, the Charlottesville resident and the small business owner. The Charlottesville resident is because they're the major shareholder. They deserve the biggest dividends. We need to move forward to find those dividends and make sure that the primary shareholder has received those dividends. The second most important, almost equally important to me, is the small business owners. If you help the small businesses, they'll be able to hire more people locally, and then we can move forward and support our local economy. I want to connect with the community. So I do door-to-door as well in my free time. I have a very tough schedule, but at the same time, that is conditioning me to serve the public better or to serve the public upon a successful election. As far as development, I believe that I will always remain a student who isn't a student of life. We always learn every day, and I want to use my youthful energy, being the youngest candidate, to really sincerely serve the public. Why should I have to run under a certain party? I applaud everyone for running, and you know, I actually like everyone, but I certainly applaud the independents that are running because it's difficult, and that's why I like it. Because it's difficult, and that'll be the purest form of representation. Also, I hear it's not that easy running as a Democrat in Charlottesville as well. And my willingness to serve the public comes from core principles. The principles of long-term sustainability and honesty, moving forward, and helping the major populace without forgetting the concern and addressing the concern of the few. Certainly, I want to move forward and assist people as much as possible. And yes, it is difficult running as an independent, but at least I can sleep at night knowing that my core principles will not be forgotten because I made a decision to take an easy way out. I want Charlottesville residents to be my party. And I would certainly appreciate it if you come out November the 8th, regardless of who you vote for. Thank you all for being involved.
Thank you. I was just thinking that choice is a wonderful thing, and isn't it marvelous that we have diverse candidates here, so we do have a choice. And hopefully everyone here that votes in the city will get out and do so. At this point, I have some questions that have come from the audience. I have two directed to specific candidates and four directed to everybody. Hopefully we can get to them all. I just wanted to ask if there are any others in the audience. If you'd hold up your cards, we will try and get to them too. Now here's where it gets tricky, and here's where you have to pay attention, because each of you only has 1 minute to respond to the question. So try and think fast. Okay, let's start with the question directed to everybody. With the county's portion of the Meadow Creek Parkway being finished this week, how can the city justify breaking its previous agreement and not finishing its portion? Why don't we just continue the way we've been and start with Scott? Or is there anyone here who wants to respond to it? There's nothing written that says that everybody has to. So if you want to respond, just raise your hands and we'll just go down the row.
I don't think it can justify not following through. I think we have a problem in the city with making decisions and sticking with them. I think, again, this comes back from kind of a business perspective. I'm looking at the relationships we have with the county, with our own staff at City Hall, and with UVA. And there's a lot that having a practical, business-minded approach to how we all cooperate is tremendously important. And I think with the Meadow Creek Parkway, that's a perfect example of our city not, from we're not following through with our end of the agreement. I think we need to finish it.
Okay.
Well, are we going down?
Let's come down the row in order.
Thank you. I know there has been a history of agreements made and agreements changed, and it's not a finger-pointing issue, but there are roadway improvements that the county had promised, that which would have precluded the Meadow Creek Parkway from being there in the first place as far as some eastern and western bypass construction. I think the bigger picture speaking to the parkway is what it will do to the integrity of Charlottesville City. Charlottesville has 10 square miles. We've already had neighborhoods torn up with Vinegar Hill in the past, and the roadway that is constructed, that is proposed to be constructed there, would go through the Ridge neighborhood as well. That parkway would do nothing to address the county's major concern. A two-lane road with 35 mile per hour speed limits is not going to address major traffic concerns. And so to tear up our park in that regard towards that end is not, I think, feasible. And I had made a suggestion to council 3 years ago that at that time we needed an eastern connector. Now that we have Martha Jefferson there, it is even more important. There is no way to get from the northern part of Charlottesville, Albemarle County, to Martha Jefferson. So I think that was for consideration.
She's finished.
I think we do need to finish the parkway after the legal challenges have been resolved, of course. But I really think that having a parkway, a legitimate parkway, which is what it's going to be, 35 miles an hour, you know, responding to the land inspired by roads like Skyline Drive and the Blue Ridge Parkway, is not going to ruin the park. The park is going to be fine. But more importantly, we're going to be able to move forward with the next step with the park, which would be figuring out what we'd actually like to do with the eastern half of the park, which has been on hold for several decades now. And to me, the biggest tragedy is that no one in the city has been able to use the park for the last several decades. So to me, that's really the most important thing, is let's get moving with the park so that people can actually use it.
Well, I think we justify not moving forward by, you know, looking to all the obfuscation and all the ignoring of environmental regulation and things like that. You know, this parkway is a mistake, and it's never too late to look at a mistake and fix it. Why move forward with a bad idea? If you look at the most recent lawsuit, it suggested that the entire plan was not really legal, and the court was probably going to issue an injunction to keep the McIntyre Road extended portion from being built. Now, VDOT has no real plan. They've met with council, and they're looking for ideas. Why move forward on a road when you don't know what it is, what the plan is for that road? As it stands, it is still not time to move forward on the Meadow Creek Parkway, and I do think it's important that we preserve our parks, and you know, at the very least, let's see the plan and let's get adequate public input.
The original deal on the transportation roads in our area was for Western Bypass, Eastern Connector, and Meadow Creek Parkway in that order. There's nobody in this room who has been in this city for any length of time who doesn't realize the opposition that the Meadow Creek Parkway raised among city residents. Putting the Meadow Creek Parkway there was a political decision. It was to force the city's hand. It was not a transportation decision. In our community, both city and county, we have got to start listening to the transportation experts and take these decisions out of the hands of politicians. The county has its own mess going now with the Western Bypass. Excuse me, the Western Cut-Through. That road was vetoed 20 years ago. It's going to be vetoed again, and the only thing that has done to this community is raise Cain. So the Meadow Creek Parkway was a mistake, and there's other ways we can use what has already been done without taking it right into the city.
Thank you. I believe the city should follow through with its agreement and build its portion of the Meadow Creek Parkway. There are several reasons: economic, cultural, educational. The economic part is that it does provide access to the growing part of the job market in the northern part of Alma County. particularly to the south side of town. It also provides a lot of volume of traffic that the downtown businesses need, as well as Preston Avenue. For educational reasons, it ties K-Tech to the high school, ties it to a potential botanical garden, which then we could probably resurrect the horticultural program at K-Tech. And again, it provides better connectivity down to the southern part of the city. And then for the cultural aspects, if you think about it, it could very well be our Civic Center North, a campus with all these educational facilities along with a public park on the order of a Maymont. Connect that to the downtown city market, down to South Civic Center with Buford, the Aquatic Center, and the Boys and Girls Club.
I'm actually for the parkway. That road has been thoroughly debated here in this community for quite some time. Right now, the opponents of the parkway, you know, to me, I can just from my stance is that I'm seeing that, you know, it puts neighbors against neighbors, and we don't need that here in Charlottesville. This has been thoroughly debated here in the city of Charlottesville, so we need to uphold to our portion of the parkway. And I know that this decision has not come easy here in this community, and I know that this decision will not please everybody here in this community. However, I stress to the individuals here in this room that the community has thoroughly debated this parkway for many, many years. So let's build the road. Thank you.
I support the construction of Meadow Creek Parkway. We've been talking about it for 45 years. I think that should be long enough for discussion. It is also need some facts. It's only 0.4 miles. It takes less than 5 acres of land. Still in eastern part, there are 75 acres of open space. We've added another 45 to 46 acres of open space in addition. So we'll be having more open space now than we had before Meadow Creek Parkway. It will also provide a better access to downtown. It will also take away some traffic from residential areas like Park Street, and it will be a good part of our transportation system.
I'm totally against completing the Meadow Creek Parkway. I believe that in the last 20 years, less and less public money has been going towards public transit, both on a national level and here in Virginia. I believe that the millions of dollars that have been designated for the Meadow Creek Parkway, the Western Bypass, the Virginia Department of Transportation should seriously be considering channeling some of that money to local public transit authorities, and I've called for the creation of a local public transit authority to include the city of Charlottesville, Albemarle County, and the six surrounding counties, and I believe that the Virginia Department of Transportation should be considering appropriating millions of dollars for local public transportation instead of building more and more highways.
And I'm with the camp that says it's not, in fact, the city that has reneged on their part of the deal, but the county. As was said earlier, the county had agreed to build other roads to offset the congestion on 29, and the Meadow Creek Parkway is the only one left. It was never meant to be a standalone road. It will, as such, it will double as an eastern connector to those trying to get from 29 north to 64, and it's going to spill all of that traffic into the city. And when they can't get through Pantops, they're going to start cutting through our neighborhoods. And it is just the wrong direction to go in terms of solving our congestion. We should be putting our resources towards figuring out how to balance demand with supply and getting roads off of the cars. So I do not support finishing the construction of Meadow Creek Parkway.
A few realities here. First off, regardless of Albemarle County and UVA or whatnot, upon a successful election, city councilors have a fiduciary responsibility to Charlottesville residents and to business owners. Yes, we have to work with our neighbors or what have you, but because the plans changed, why should we move forward on something that is still somewhat ambiguous? We need to make sure that that Charlottesville residents and business owners will be protected and that it is mutually beneficial among Charlottesville and among Albemarle County. the truth is, no, I don't want to see the park go. And of course, I'd like to represent the need of the major populace. But the reality is, even upon a successful election, even if I was given the vote, I may or may not be outvoted. So it's certainly something that we need to look into and recognize those consistent principles, long-term sustainability and fairness. Politics is temporary.
Thank you. This next question is directed to Kathy Galvin. You support a school reconfiguration plan whose cost is skyrocketing to $50 million, which is not in the city's budget. You also support a water plan that will cost upwards of $200 million, including the pipeline. Is it fiscally responsible to expect city residents to foot the bill for these big-ticket items?
I do think it's fiscally responsible for the city council to make judgments that will then lead to an adequate water supply. Every study that I have seen and read, four environmental groups have endorsed the Compromise Water Plan. It is a plan that will provide us with the water we need to grow local industry and to provide housing for the people that we have in the city. We have over 10% unemployment. We have children in poverty that are close to 20% of our children. There really is a need for us to continue to think about growing businesses and growing homes for people that can't afford to live here. So when we talk about the schools, I can't think of another more important piece of infrastructure to plan for our future. Yes, that's the school board's responsibility, and it's the city council's responsibility to listen to that elected body as well, and then do what's best for the entire city. Budgets are really tight, but it's very, very important that we not lose sight of our future. Children are our future, and we've done our research, we've done our homework as a school board, as did Ms. Blount. We are very much in support of the reconfiguration of the city schools. We will look at every dime and dollar to see if we can bring that cost down. I'm an architect. I know how things can get ballooned out of proportion, but we can whittle it down.
Thank you. This is half in the same venue, and this question is directed to everyone. The city and county are currently negotiating a cost share agreement for the water plan, deciding who should pay how much for the dam and 9 mile pipeline. What do you think a fair percentage is for the city and why?
Most of the residential growth has been going over into the urban ring of Albemarle County. There's no doubt in my mind of this. You can see the traffic going back and forth on 29 all the time, and those cars have got to be parking somewhere. The revenue sharing agreement, well, it's got to come out of that. It's got to come somewhere. And Albemarle bears the brunt of this, I believe. I believe it's only fair that where there is the most population, that is where most of the responsibility lies. Mr. Beyer.
Well, I think obviously there's a lot of information we still need, and we're going to have to take a look at the agreement, and it needs to be fair.
As far as the agreement, I think it would be an uphill battle, quite literally. As far as the pipeline and the money that has not been allocated for that, that would be going against gravity to move that water from the South Fork up to Ragged Mountain. And that has not been allotted, and that is costly. I know the county and city are still have, I guess, over their heads the revenue sharing concern, and that is a legal binding agreement that the city, because it cannot annex more land, needs that tax base. And so that is just, I think, a firm given in that regard. And so I am not in favor of the proposed water plan. So as far as using city monies towards that, I am not in favor of that. Thank you.
Okay. I certainly think that you know, it should be apportioned in some relation to the growth and the projected growth that we're supposedly building it for, and that is mostly in the county. But I think more importantly, for those of us who have dug into this issue some and pushed back a little bit on some of the information that we get the first time through, our existing pipeline that this pipeline is supposedly replacing is 80 years old, and that was the reason that it was dismissed out of hand. Well, it's an old pipeline, we got to replace it. Well, when you look a little more closely, actually, it's an 80-year-old cast iron pipeline, which is of such high quality, we couldn't afford to build it today if we wanted to. Other cities have had cast iron pipelines last 150 years. When we talk to RWSA about what they've done to maintain it or even to examine what condition it's in, they just shrug their shoulders. That's not acceptable in my mind. We need to take care of the infrastructure that we have before we give money to people that want to go build new infrastructure.
Well, I don't support the current water supply plan as it is, and I don't think the verdict is out yet on this. There's a lot of public discussion that still needs to happen about this plan. I think when one of those things is cost sharing and how it's going to be paid for, I think the current plan is way too expensive. And I like the original plan that council came up with, what was it, last year, to dredge and to consider raising the existing dam. I think this is considerably, we can do that for a lot less money, and it's a lot less harmful to our environment. You know, when it comes to water needs, though, you know, if the county is really pushing for this, they need to share a heavy burden for this. And I also would like to support the idea of not shutting off water service for any city resident who can't pay their bill. Thank you.
Well, the bottom line on this question is money. Now, we are in a time that our children and grandchildren will talk about, just like we talk about the Great Depression. And we have to remember that. We have infrastructure in the city that has been neglected for 20 years. We have roads, the Western Bypass, maybe the Eastern Connector at some point, Meadow Creek Parkway, road repair. We have possibly a new dam, hundreds of millions of dollars. We have schools, over 50 million probably. And we have sewers that somebody has pegged at $2 billion. Now, at some point, we have to turn the discussion from spending priorities to saving priorities. And it's the people in this room that are going to be hurt the worst, who are on fixed incomes, when we can't make the payments on all these bond issues and tax and fee increases that are almost certainly going to come down the pike.
Excuse me, could you please repeat the question again?
Sure.
Because I think we've kind of lost sight of the question.
Okay. I have to find it. Here it is. The city and county are currently negotiating a cost-share agreement for the water plan, deciding who should pay how much for the dam and 9-mile pipeline. What do you think a fair percentage is for the city and why?
Thank you. So my answer will not be revisiting whether or not the compromise water plan is the plan that we are debating. It is the plan on the table, and I think that it is going to be very, very important for the City Council and the Board of Supervisors to look hard and fast at what each region's growth needs are. It's not a situation where Charlottesville is not growing. The projections are that it will. It does look like Alma County is growing faster, but both jurisdictions are growing. There is a revenue sharing agreement already in place, which means that the county is providing revenue to the city. But this needs to be done fairly. We need to look at all of the costs in detail, the costs of the pipeline, the costs of the dam, the cost of the gravity pumping, and we will then deal with it in a very fair way, looking at the relative growth rates on each in each jurisdiction. That is the only way that I would begin to negotiate as your councilwoman. Thank you.
I think that we need to look at the cost share agreement, and I'm a firm believer that it needs to be fair across the board at all costs. Also, I also agree with Mr. Collins on if you can't afford to pay for your water should not be shut off here in this community. Thank you.
Water is one of the basic necessities of all human beings. So we need to think ahead and plan ahead and make sure that we have water for the next generation. And I think the council has made such a plan, and I think it is a responsible plan and would meet our needs for a long time to come. As for the cost sharing, most of the water will be going to the county, and thus most of the costs also should be paid by them.
I don't think that the current agreement between the city and the council, Alamo County, to build a new dam is a done deal. If elected to city council, I would vote against any funding for it. I believe that we should continue dredging, and I believe that the kinds of funds that are being discussed is too much, and there's too many social issues with people living in the street and people needing job training and other help that a lot of this money should be appropriated to.
Well, first of all, I think it was fiscally irresponsible for the City Council to approve any plan before they know what it's going to cost their citizens. That said, how much should the city pay? I don't think the city should pay anything. In fact, the city should be compensated for the massive city resources that will be lost. The city will lose two reservoirs, the South Fork Ravana Reservoir and the Sugar Hollow Reservoir, as part of this plan. They will also lose 200 acres of a city park and all of the mature timber on that land. And the really shocking thing is if the South Fork Ravana Reservoir is allowed to silt in, the city will lose half of the water resources we own today that protect us from drought. The city, in fact, today has a surplus of water resources in case of drought, more than enough to last for even the highest projections in 50 years. But we will go from a surplus to a deficit if we allow the South Fork Ravana Reservoir to silt in. So the city should, in fact, be compensated for the loss of resources should this plan go forward.
DB said it very well. Yeah, I second that. But no, it's experience, okay? Experience isn't everything, because look how experienced Lehman Brothers were. Look how experienced our very own politicians at the state and federal level is. What we need is to consistently adjust based on the circumstance, or based on new data that we are being presented with. Not just for this water plan, which the current plan I don't support. We need to balance appropriation all across the board. This is one issue. The core principle here is that we need to adjust, assess the current state, scan our environment, define where we want to be, perform a gap analysis, develop a plan that actually works and that's mutually beneficial, move forward, execute, monitor, and adjust the plan to make sure that the situation at hand is being taken care of. And then also we need to support we need to definitely keep in mind long-term sustainability. And we need to always adjust. There's nothing that's going to be set in stone all the time. We need to move forward and definitely exercise those principles and not just plans.
Okay. Thank you all. This question is directed to Mr. Beyer. Your destruction of a cultural asset in the city of Charlottesville, the International Order of Good Templars Hall on Dale Avenue, gives concern that you don't respect this historic building environment. Our region depends on cultural tourists. How would you allay my fears?
Well, I think that's a very specific question. It comes to a project that went on a couple of years ago. It was a building on Dale Avenue, and the city had practically condemned it. There was sewage running out of the building. It was in very bad repair. And so we were getting, on the one hand, the city saying something needs to be done immediately, and on the other hand, I got an email saying that they were going to make it a historic site. So it was one of those things where I think where we were at the time is we were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. And I I asked Planning Commission, I asked City Council, you know, look, give us some time. Don't do this designation. It looks really, really bad. And didn't get the breathing room, and so we ended up with a demolition permit, and we demolished the building. Now, I would encourage people to go back and look through it. I mean, it's a hard thing to kind of talk about in a minute. I think overall, again, this comes back to the arts perspective. There's not many people up here that are running on the arts. They're not running on the cultural vitality of the city. I'm very, very
All right. Finish your sentence. That's okay.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think I'm. There's no one else up here that is running on the arts in the same way that and focusing on the economic vitality it can bring to the city. So, I think that speaks for itself.
Thank you. Some of these questions are. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, I wanted to respond. I wanted to make a statement in that regard, and I certainly understand what Mr. Beyer is saying, but. And arts is very important, if most of the people want the city to allocate funds, to continue to fund the arts, the way that's being done, that's fine. But we need to adjust. And arts is just a small component in the mosaic that is Charlottesville. We have art. We have multiple personalities. So no one is going to allow the art to be depleted, or no one is going to have our culture, our artistic views, our artistic values be depleted.
I don't mean to interrupt and be disrespectful, but I just wanted to remind the candidates that this is a forum, not a debate. Okay? Thank you. Thank you. This next question is directed very pointedly, but to several people. If the school board candidates do not win the primary, will they run for school board again? And I must tell you, there are a couple of questions similar to this. So,
I think I understood your question. When I decided to run for city council, I thought about that long and hard, because I was also considering running again for school board. A lot of my concerns that I saw for making change in the city schools had a broader community input. And so I made the decision to extend it to city council. We need to bring in more of our businesses in addressing the issue of apprenticeships and internships for our young people. Also parent engagement. And so I wanted to broaden my outreach and not just have it in the school board per environment, but more community-based. And so, no, I would not run for school board. I think that would not be a sign of respect for the current candidates, and it would not show my commitment to this position of city council. We'll see what happens in 4 years from now, but right now, city council. Thank you.
Yes, at this point in time, City Council is my focus. I did make that decision as well as Ms. Blount. The school board is a very important institution, and we must respect the people that are currently running. However, what I learned on the school board is what propelled me to finally make this decision. I believe that the student achievement gaps are directly tied to some of the dynamics and economic gaps that we see in the neighborhoods. I have the experience as an urban designer, an architect, as a businesswoman, to now handle that bigger scale of problem outside of the classroom. It's been long overdue. We spend $18,400 plus per student. That's because we're investing an awful lot in remediation, an awful lot in support systems. We are improving our graduation rates. We've gone from 64% to 75% in the last 3 years. But to make bigger, faster, more comprehensive changes, we really need to start making changes in the neighborhood to give people opportunities to get out of poverty.
Thank you. Okay. This question is directed to all of you, and it looks like it will probably be our last. So we'll give you an extra 30 seconds, a minute and a half. What makes you more able to work with others and get things done?
My sense of humor.
A diverse perspective comes from a diverse background. I was born in Michigan, the inner city of Michigan. I was raised also in Los Angeles, California. For high school, I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, but Charlottesville is my home, for the record. And I think that I have the ability to identify and to speak and to understand the concern and to really just grasp, you know, everyone's concern. I was taught at a very young age that not only do we have to serve and support the generation that comes after us, we need to serve and support the generation that comes, not to only serve and support the generation that's before us, but also the generation that's after us. The reason why I work so hard in all the things that I do is so my grandmother can retire comfortably. I don't want her to have to work for years and years and years and, you know, be worried about, you know, her grandchildren or what have you. I want to work. I want to support my family. I want to be able to co-sign for people. I want to be able to buy groceries for my family members and send, you know, birthday cards with a little bit of money in it, to my family members. I also, again, my willingness to work with everyone up here or what have you, I definitely have that. I don't, you know, have any bones to pick with anyone, and, you know, certainly I'm also very direct as well, but at the same time, the enthusiasm that I have to getting things done and to be mutually beneficial overshadows a lot of things. So yes, I look forward upon a successful election to not only working with the other counselors, but all of our city residents and small business owners. Thank you.
I think we should just go down the row because this is addressed to everybody. So we'll go in reverse order now.
This way.
Sure.
It's my just sheer love of talking and working with people. I think the my greatest joys us being here in Charlottesville was my time at Ivy Creek. And I was the director, the sole director of the Ivy Creek Foundation that managed the area. I wore a lot of hats, but I dealt with a lot of people, which I just loved. I organized all the training for the school program, for the environmental programs, and got to meet so many people. And what was really interesting about Ivy Creek is it is a city-county park. It was created jointly, and it's been managed for 32 years jointly. It is a wonderful model of city-county cooperation. I have said that for years. And it also drew a really wonderful diversity of people, both of all ages and of all political persuasions, and everybody got along because we shared something. We shared a respect of the land. We shared a love of this place. And I think we can find that in Charlottesville because we all want the same thing. We want what is best for all of the citizens of Charlottesville. I also, in my school experience, I dealt with, as a PTO leader, particularly in Jackson Via, a real diversity of interests and folks and needs, and it's just what I love to do, and it's really why I'm running for city council, is because this is what really, really fuels my life. Thank you.
Thank you.
In the 1980s, I worked for 8 years as a certified addiction counselor. I went to Chestnut Hill College to do the course requirements to get certified by the state of Pennsylvania. And I also had moved to Tenekum Township, which is just southwest of the city of Philadelphia, and was appointed by a five-person Republican Board of Commissioners to be their representative to the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority, and a post that I held for 8 years before moving to Virginia. And I did that even though I was a registered Democrat. I also served as the Tenekum Township Board of Health, served as a secretary there for a year. I believe that I have a diverse background for dealing with a variety of people. I believe I have a lot of skills to diffuse tension. And I also believe that coming from an urban area with 1.5 million residents, that I bring a perspective to the problems of the city of Charlottesville and Alamo County, which is becoming increasingly urban. And I hope that Charlottesville has the wisdom and the insight to avoid a lot of the problems that the city of Philadelphia did not confront initially, when a lot of problems could have been solved and not allow problems to continue to grow into the point that they almost become insolvable. So I believe I have a vast background of experience to offer to the cities of Charlottesville if I'm elected to city council.
When I was 20 years old, I thought I knew everything there was to know. I was God's gift to mankind and womankind, all alike. But now I'm close to 69, and I think I know very little. But I do have some experience. I do have some ideas. And I think I do listen very well. And I helped start a mediation center a few years back. So part of the working people, you need to listen to other people. You don't have all the solutions. You need to listen to and compromise. Compromise is not a dirty word. If you compromise your principle, then it is dirty, but not the project and programs. And if you want to get things done, you need to listen to other people and work with other people, and that's how we can make this community a better community, and better community for all of our people.
I appreciate that, Mr. Hooja. The reason why I work well with other individuals here, along with the county relations here in our city as your next city councilman, is that, you know, I believe in equality for everybody. I believe in fairness for everybody across the board. For example, you know, I'm still young, so I'm going to give you an example of this prior week. You know, I actually saw Brandon Collins walking down the road. So, you know, even though he's an independent, I'm a Democrat, I gave him a ride up to the City Hall building. So I reach across lines at all times. So thank you very much, and I ask for your vote on August 20th. Thank you.
It's great that you're not partisan. Yes, why I feel qualified for this position, for being on council. I started off by talking about my parents. The call to serve came from my parents. They were both in the armed services, and then they also gave to their community, taught teamwork, perseverance in the spite of great hardship. I'm also an architect. I became an architect and a planner by inclination, but then the training kind of exacerbated my obsessive compulsiveness. So when you think about it, when you design a building, you have to be able to work with engineers and other contractors and other electrical specialists to get the building built. To design a neighborhood, you have to talk with transportation engineers, civil engineers, landscape architects to get the neighborhood right. It's inherently multidisciplinary. I also had the experience then to prove my quals by being the chairperson of the DISC committee, the Development Initiative Steering Committee that I mentioned earlier. That was 23 people, developers, environmentalists, neighborhood leaders, citizens from the schools, architects, landscape architects, planners, all coming together to create the neighborhood model, the vision and the tool to guide management and development in the growth areas of the county. Finally, the school board. That was 4 years of coming up with various ideas, debating, and I was so gratified that I have gotten the full endorsement of so many of my school board members, current school board members, as well as former school board members, that I've demonstrated an ability to work with people, come up with new ideas, and get them implemented. Thank you.
Well, when I first heard the question, the first thing that popped into my mind is no man is an island. And, of course, that's been updated. No man or woman is an island. And I have learned that throughout my Army career and being in business. I learn it almost on a daily basis now, because sometimes I think I do have the answer until somebody, either in this crowd or in a neighborhood association, brings me up short. And I say that because I was trying to help a man named Charles Rogers in town who has a blighted house. And I was focused on the injustice of a man living alone, disabled, who was being taken advantage of. And somebody reminded me that the neighborhood counts as well. And I took that to heart. So I don't have all the answers, but I do believe that we do. That's the magic of our country. That's why this is the greatest country in the world, because anybody in this room can stand up and say whatever they want, and your representatives should listen and then should act on that.
Well, first, thanks, James, for picking me up the other day. I was waiting for the bus, And as I've been going about my campaign, I've learned a lot about public transit, and I've discovered that across the board, no matter what your political ideology is or how you go about things, people are interested in a big expansion of public transit. And, you know, that's a starting point. That's a great starting point for being able to work with people. You know, as I ride the bus, you know, it's very easy to feel a part of the community here. I've worked here for less than a living wage for a very long time in Charlottesville, and that gives me a connection to a lot of the folks here in Charlottesville. You know, one of the other things about Charlottesville, you know, is kind of the downside, and I've also experienced a lot of that downside, and that's given me a way to relate to people in this town. And ultimately, I believe that, you know, we don't need leaders, we don't necessarily need experts. What we need is for people to do the leading. And, you know, when it comes to, say, expanding public housing, making sure that those folks actually have direct control over those expansions, making sure that transit riders have direct control on what they want to see happen with public transit, making sure that the neighborhoods have direct control. And ultimately, you know, I wish we could all get along, but I do think that struggle over certain issues is a viable alternative to doing something that we don't want to do. And, you know, on some of my ideas, I think I already have some support from some counselors and some people on this dais. Thank you.
Well, I think I failed to mention earlier that my job actually is working in the news office at the University of Virginia. So every day for my job, I meet new people, talk to them, hear their story, listen closely, and I convey what it is that they're telling me. So that's my job every day, is to be a good listener and to be able to communicate and understand what people are saying. Also, from day one of my campaign, I've described myself as a pragmatic progressive. And to me, the heart of being pragmatic is recognizing that you've got to compromise to get things done. And that's most important. Get things done. Don't be an ideologue. So I think those are two reasons why I get along with people well.
Thank you. Well, as a school teacher, one has to be flexible. And that is from day to day, minute to minute. And so for the time that I have been teaching, that has been my mantra. Before I became a teacher, I was a community organizer for 2 years in Boston, working in the communities of Roxbury and Dorchester, going door to door and meeting with people. I have always invested myself in activities that have me engage with the community. I was a facilitator, still am a facilitator, with the Dialogue on Race, and that is through the Achievement Gap Action Team. I am also affiliated with the African American Teaching Fellows, which has me engage with a variety of people from all walks of life. And I am comfortable in standing alone. I have done that on the school board with regards to the Meadow Creek Parkway and also for the installation of artificial turf. I stood alone. It was 6-1 votes for both of those. And I also know when to compromise, when to listen to, and I appreciate hearing a variety of viewpoints. It better informs me when I make my decisions. I do not make them in isolation. I do my own research as well, and I welcome hearing viewpoints from other people. I think that makes me a well-rounded person as far as making my decisions. And I appreciate your support and getting to know more of the community. And I would say a highlight of my time has been going door to door and having conversations with community members from 5 minutes to 2 hours. So thank you very much, and I appreciate your support on August 20th.
I think my qualifications and how I'll get along with people on council are really come down to two things. One is a willingness to listen, and one is a little bit about temperament, I think, as well. The willingness to listen is something that I've had town hall forums all summer long at my apartment. I've hosted them called Talk About the City. Again, I'd encourage you to read the article about it. But it's about not just telling people this is what I believe and this is what you should do. It's about getting people engaged. And they're young and old, there's a diverse crowd, and it's about getting ideas coming from the community. And I think that's a different it's a different approach to how a lot of people run a campaign. But I think the second thing is really one of temperament, and I point a lot to my mom and dad on that. The last question was an interesting one, to me at least. Kind of, I probably shouldn't have answered it because it's just too complex to get into in a minute. But here's a little perspective of how my parents are. I think I'm a reasonable guy, and I'm also a fair guy. My mom and dad started building houses in the 70s. They started real small, and now they're successful. They have 20 employees. And the average time they've been with us is 19 years. We have 11 people with us that have been with us longer than 22 years. So we treat people like family. You say what you mean. You be honest. And that's the kind of values that I take a lot of cues from my mom and dad on. And it's also the kind of cues that I would want to take to counsel as well. Thank you.
Well, no, I was serious when I said it was my sense of humor.
Yeah. Man with the last word. Well, we started 5 minutes late. We're ending 5 minutes late. So I think it sort of levels itself out. I want to thank council members. Yeah?
Record, and it was Miss. I want to just say that I did also not vote for the artificial turf because it's related to my greener, smarter, stronger by design. So I just want to say that I, just for the record, thank you. Sorry.
I didn't get a chance to vote for it either.
But you're not on the school board, sir.
I think I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
At any rate,
it's all right.
Okay, consider it done. Thank you all for coming. Good luck to everybody. Thank you all for coming. Hope to see you all in September. We hope to see you all at our September Senior Statesman meeting when we will host a forum for the candidates for the Albemarle County Board.